streets of Gotham are filled with dead clowns.
Somehow he's like, I've got nothing left for me on Earth. I'm going to retire to space.
And he stays in space like Tommy Lee Jones.
But you've destroyed the entirety of the MCU as we know it.
Yes, I did. Okay. Don't you feel great?
Wake up! Wake up!
I feel like I never would have.
Welcome back to New Rockstars, guys. I'm Philip Molina, and this is Rogue Theory. Today, we're talking about how Tom Holland is going to retire from the spandex. Because, again, the big news is that he is back in the MCU. But the crazier news, and this is what we're going to get into, is that they're probably going to end him in the MCU, too.
Yeah.
Okay. And, of course, we've got Eric Voss here to give us some theories. Oh, yeah. We got an off-screen producer of this show, Zach Huddleston.
That's right. I've only ever been behind the scenes. Now I'm in front of the scenes. Yeah.
Throwing things at Eric. That's right. And now things will be thrown at you.
No hard feelings.
And then, Frank, say your own last name.
Moran.
Moran. Yes. There you go.
All right.
You freaking Moran. Yeah. All right, guys. So let's get into it. I'm going to establish some really clear rules for what we're going to base our theories on. And then you guys are going to let me have it with the most rogue or best theory, but usually it's the most rogue, just because that's how it goes. So just to be clear, what we're going to base this off of is the Hollywood Reporter's reporting that Kevin Feige is bringing him home, but he's going to wrap it up with two more appearances. You get one full Spider-Man movie to wrap this thing up, and then you also can have him featured in a team-up movie, and you can do whatever order you want on those two. But you have these two instances to sunset the character of Spider-Man in the MCU. Eric, what do you got?
Okay, here's my theory. I think that Kevin Feige has been kind of withholding with a lot of his details for Phase 4. I think what he was waiting on is for this deal for Spider-Man to come through. I think Peter Parker, Tom Holland's role in MCU Phase 4 is going to be central to how the Phase 4 plays out.
Tony Stark level.
Tony Stark level. Down to how they will play his end game. And I think we'll see how at the end of Phase 4 it'll end with Tom Holland's version of the character dying, but in a way that sets things. Okay, so I'm going to explain how that won't be such a bummer. Okay.
No, you just dropped the worst part.
Right. It seems like such a bummer, but it'll make sense.
Turn off the show, kids.
Hear me out. I think what's going to happen is the big team that gets announced by the end of Phase 4 will be the Fantastic Four, and I think the new big bad will be Galactus, Devourer of Worlds.
Nice.
But they have to do it in a way that makes sense visibly on screen, because like Galactus, it's hard to conceive. He grabs like planets like apples and bites them, or he's this weird cosmic cloud that sucks up the life force of a planet.
I like that version personally.
But yeah, if between the two.
Really?
But maybe there's another option that works.
You'd rather him munch on worlds like an apple?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
The scale of that is ruined. As soon as it's on screen, it's like, well, okay, it's just a guy with like apples.
And a human face. Normal face.
Yeah. Helmet.
Yeah.
He never really eats like an apple. He kind of sinks into it like a nice jacuzzi. He always just kind of sinks into the world. So I'm down with a big guy just sinking in. Into, for a soak.
I mean, it needs to be like street level, like, you know that thing that they always show people in New York, like looking up at the sky, but it's just an ass coming down.
Yeah, yeah.
Sinking
just
into
a thumb. Yeah, just reaching into New York.
It's the Rick and Morty thing. Like, like I feel bad to live in the Rockies right now. So here's the deal. I believe that the way they're going to have Galactus play in is by suggesting that he's not someone who goes to healthy planets and eats them. He's the one who's a scavenger of already dying planets. They're going to use the way that the world is kind of collapsing in all kinds of different ways through environmental despair, through perhaps nuclear annihilation.
Through the OA getting canceled.
Yes.
I'm also going to remind you kids that he said he's going to make you feel better.
So we're going to see more and more of that throughout Phase 4 to the point to where the Earth is on the brink of collapse. Galactus is there to pick up the scraps. Mm. He uses the scraps of dead planets to fuel some engine of his, fuel his life force through some kind of cosmic gobbledygook that they're going to explain.
Are you running low on time? I'm just going to say.
We're timed? This is timed?
Starting today.
I'll cut to the chase. Peter Parker's world, his inner life, is also on the brink of destruction. Through Mysterio's doxing him in the post-credit scene of Far From Home, he is now this public menace. He can't get a bite to eat at any restaurant in New York. Because people think he's this asshole who's has this villainous plot. He can't go to anyone. And then in the That's Spider-Man 3 is him trying to deal with being this villain character.
Can't get into any restaurant.
That's right. the stakes are higher.
The second of his two movies in the MCU is him finding a new home with a new team of people, the Fantastic Four, Reed Richards, Johnny Storm, Sue Storm, Ben Grimm, and they are able to provide him sanctuary in the Baxter building, and he introduces them to this new world as they confront Galactus, ready to pick up the scraps from this Earth as it collapses. It ends with Peter able to keep the Earth alive, but he has to die. He has to provide some kind of heroic self-sacrifice.
So Peter Parker, did I catch, he joined the Fantastic Four or is alongside them?
Yeah, he's
in this battle against Galactus.
Against Galactus.
He's here to strip for precious metals or whatever.
Oh, he's stripping?
Well,
to help. And if you don't want to get too political with the environmental thing, though we should all get more political about that, maybe it could be something like in Watchmen, the world powers are ready to blow each other up with nuclear annihilation, and Galactus is encouraging that so that he can...
But Spider-Man is now just added to the Fantastic Four for these events, and this is not a Fantastic Four movie.
It's
a Fantastic Four movie, and he's appearing in it as paper bag covered Spider-Man. And then he is a member of the team, and then he's making some sort of, you know, Galactus, I'm here to bargain.
The way this is a lesson he learns from Doctor Strange, who maybe in the third movie he teams up with Spider-Man 3, or in this movie, Doctor Strange is also part of this new Marvel Illuminati with Reed Richards and Doctor Strange, and Peter Parker gets to join that table too to try to figure out how to deal with this problem. And he learns, like, well, this is how I dealt with the cosmic threat. I looped it in, you know, a bargain, and that's what Peter Parker does with Galactus. Alternate idea, they fail. The world is destroyed. Everyone dies. But the way the movie really ends is by showing an alternate reality in the MCU multiverse in which everyone is still alive. Things didn't go that bad. And Spider-Man's not part of this world. He's in his own universe that the Sony people can take care of. So whatever tragedy ends, it ends with kind of this Deus Ex Machina where, hey, everything that we saw in the MCU is now done. A lot of these characters are still alive in this new reality that allows them to bring in the X-Men and other new characters they want to bring in. Maybe some of the same new actors like Banner as Hulk and Chris Hemsworth as Thor. And we see this new reality. And from here on forward in the MCU that we live in is in a new reality.
But you've destroyed the entirety of the MCU as we know it.
Yes, I did. Okay. Don't you feel great?
I'm going to give you two Rogues to represent how ballsy that is.
The name of the show is Rogue Theory, friends. We got to go Rogue if you want to win.
Real quick, I am going to acknowledge I don't get why Spider-Man has to die in that one. The whole world gets destroyed.
Because he's the face of it currently.
Got it. That's it.
I think I can out Rogue Eric, and just I want to throw out one other caveat. You didn't mention Philip, but I'm going to mention it, right? Like they established that Peter Parker, Spider-Man, is going to stay in the MCU. They didn't say anything else about other Sony-owned characters coming into the MCU. So I don't think Venom and Carnage are not showing up in any of these movies, and I don't think Peter Parker's going to show up in Venom or Carnage or any Mobius or any of these other Sony movies they're planning. And I think that'll be fine because I think the next movie, the 2021
is Spider-Man 3.
Great. So that movie... The next solo Spider-Man, boom, we get Mysterio already in the MCU, Vulture already in the MCU, a Shocker, a Scorpion, two other dudes. Vulture, brings on some other buddies. Maybe we get Kraven the Hunter, whatever. Yes. Boom. Now Peter Parker's outed. Everybody knows him. So it's like all hands on deck bad guys, right? Maybe they call it the Sinister Six. Maybe it just feels more like he's getting attacked from all sides, right? And we get all these bad guys, including... a Frank Castle Punisher shows up. Yes, right? Like
from Netflix?
Maybe it's John Bernthal. Yeah, he's a good actor. I like John Bernthal. There's been some behind the scenes Marvel TV shenanigans lately that makes it seem like they want some of those Netflix people in the MCU, right? Mm-hmm. But so I think all of these people show up, and only with the help eventually flipping Frank Castle's Punisher, maybe with the help of a Daredevil figure, a Matt Murdock, maybe as a lawyer for Peter Parker, defending him, right, as he's being sued by J. Jonah Jameson or whatever, right? Oh, only with their help is he able to fight back this rogues gallery of bad guys, defeat the quasi-Sinister Six, but in the process, ooh, MJ dies.
Okay. Michael Jordan's
and,
dead.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. In this universe, mid-60s Michael Jordan.
Oh my God.
No, Zendaya's MJ.
Is it a replacement for Gwen Stacy?
Yes, maybe they blend some of those storylines.
What I do like about this, sorry to interrupt, is that Gwen Stacy is a character that if they were to introduce her now and then kill her off like in the same movie, we wouldn't feel it. But if they killed off, you know, Zendaya's character, it's like, whoa, that's a killing off Ned or something.
Yes, yeah. We've spent so much time with her. She's a great actress. She's really good in that role. Also, I think Zendaya's doing great.
Super eager to not
she doesn't, do she doesn't need that many more Spider-Man movies, right?
Yeah, so it's weird for her to be playing a teenager in this thing, and then on HBO, she's this whole other thing.
Yes, so I think, boom, the movie ends. You know, he's able to defeat his enemies to some degree, finally put away those guys forever, but... Ooh, great sacrifice. He loses Zendaya. Oh, that's the end of the solo movie. But also, right, like maybe that we get some hints of a Fantastic Four. I also like that part of your theory, Eric.
He's just taking
co-opting it. That's right. I will take this part of your theory.
It's almost how it works. He just forgot to say oopsie grabsies.
Oopsie grabsies. I take your Fantastic Four.
After he took her.
Right, and maybe we get a little intro of the Fantastic Four. And then the other appearance of Spider-Man, the team-up movie, is the next movie, which is a Fantastic Four movie, okay? And this is how I think you wrap up the Spider-Man plot. Much like Iron Man and Captain America were wrapped up in an Avengers movie, also Black Widow, right? You wrap up Spider-Man in a Fantastic Four movie. They take him, they're out in space. Maybe they're fighting a Galactus. Maybe they're fighting a Kang or some other kind of interstellar bad guy. And while he's out there, his connection to Earth, his love, Zendaya's MJ is gone, right? And there's the Fantastic Four are in New York now. So he doesn't feel like I'm the only guy protecting New York from bad
guys. Well, and also, you just brought in all of the street level New York
Punisher,
people, right?
Punisher and Daredevil.
Out there.
They're handling it on like an alley by alley basis. Then you get the Fantastic Four are taking the skyscraper business.
Right. He's almost getting pushed out.
That's right. There's no room. There's too many good
Spider-Man
guys.
Spider-Man gentrification.
Right. When he's off in space, right? Again, this is an older, world-weary, half-broken Spider-Man out in space.
17 years old.
Yeah. He's 17 and three quarters now.
He's broken.
He's a couple years from buying booze, but he's out there and and interacting with his new buds, the Fantastic Four. Maybe he meets a Richard Rider Nova.
Oh, okay.
Maybe he interacts with, there's been rumors that Captain Marvel and Spider-Man might share a film at some point, right? So maybe there's some overlap with Captain Marvel there. And somehow he's like, I've got nothing left for me on Earth. I'm going to retire to space.
And he stays in space like Tommy Lee Jones.
Wait, where are you going? Are you retiring to space or not?
Yeah, that's right. Just like an Ad Astra. Yeah. He's like, come get me.
You like know? Luke Skywalker, off.
Well, and it's like he can't. He would not be able to retire on Earth still with his Spider-Man abilities because it's like you can't just sit in your apartment while there's bad guys out there and not go fight crime.
Right, the argument that Captain America probably still fought crime.
He has more blood on his hands than anybody.
He probably did. In his timeline, he was still fighting crime. Same thing with Spider-Man. But he's like, maybe he gets dumped on a pirate Spider-Man. But maybe while traversing the galaxy, seeing some of these other worlds we've seen in the Guardians movies and all this kind of stuff, he's like, there are other planets that actually need me more now, right? Yeah. And it gives them a nice way of writing off Spider-Man without having to explain that he just, you know, retires at 22 and never fights another bad guy.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a little like Thor leaving with the Guardians.
Yes.
You know, a little bit where it's like, all right, let's get him off Earth. Let's get him into this other place. Why would we not continue to see his space adventures, which sounds insane? Spider-Man
is
because
they're X-rated. Right?
He turns 18 in space.
He lands on a planet of naked people. Yeah. Okay,
it's a dick planet. It's just like dicks everywhere.
Yeah. People are dicks, but they still have dicks.
You can't show that on Disney Plus. Yeah.
Well, that's a good. And maybe it's like he's like, don't follow me. Okay, I got some.
He's talking into the camera.
MCU fan.
That's right.
Don't leave me alone.
Feige, you stay on Earth, Feige.
You leave me alone. I need a 6 or 7 years before a reboot. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me go to my dick planet. And I don't want you to follow me there.
And maybe a better answer than he just retires to space. Maybe he gets sucked into a multiverse situation. Maybe there's some kind of crazy
the old classic multiverse solution.
Pull this cord whenever you need a crappy answer. good, right? But like, there's something there that allows him to both stop being Spider-Man without dying. Shame on you, Eric Voss. But also without having to explain why he doesn't use his powers anymore to fight crime.
Okay, I think you've earned through effort one solid Rogie.
One.
Well, it's just like, I mean, if you have a bingo card, you hit most of them, especially if characters from Netflix getting brought in or whatnot.
Now, Frank should get a bonus if he doesn't use multiverse in his
answer, right? That's true.
Because Zach and I both used it.
Yeah, I'm not going to make him like a space hobo. Like, he's kung-fuing throughout the universe.
That's right. He's going to wander the Earth,
that's right.
But on other planets.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Oh, man.
All right, Frank, can you compete with it? Can you go more rogue or at least more understandable?
I think I can go more understandable. I'm going to go for that. So my thought is the third film, we all know that Spider-Man's identity has been revealed. Of course, we've been talking about that. They could tie back into the storyline where they did One More Day, where they kind of put Peter Parker's identity back in the box again. It all came out through Civil War when Peter Parker decided to reveal his identity, coming forward through the act that Tony Stark wanted to put into law. Mm-hmm. So he started working side by side with Tony Stark, revealed his identity to the public, and then he realized, oh man, this is not a great idea. I don't really support what Tony's doing. Plus, also, my family is in tremendous danger
because
everybody wants to kill him. And so Aunt May gets critically wounded. And so, so she almost dies. And so MJ makes a deal with Mephisto. You got to bring in the devil, guys. You got to bring in the devil to reset everything and to make everybody forget that they were even together.
By...
Oh, gosh. Bad News Bears.
Walter Matthau? Jackie Earl Haley.
Yes.
Rorschach from Zack Snyder's Watchmen.
Exactly. Yeah, get him with the great scruffy hair and the pointy red ears. Paint him all red.
I think Walter Matthau might be up there.
Walter Matthau is now? Dead. He's probably in hell. So.
That's true. That's true. I mean, he did what? Grumpy Old Men?
Rogue theory right there. A point.
Rest in peace, Walter Matthau.
So rogue that we may have to cut it out.
Yeah. It's an odd couple.
People are going to be like, how did he get two? I didn't see that point.
I bet he said something terrible about Walter Matthau.
That's right.
Beloved American actor.
So for Peter Parker to get his life back, he teamed up with Doctor Strange and Mr. Fantastic to do a spell that wiped everybody's memory of who Peter Parker was, the Spider-Man. So everybody knows that Spider-Man exists, but nobody could remember who he is.
So these are the events of Spider-Man 3.
I think by the end of it. That's a way to segue into Doctor Strange. You could also introduce Reed Richards. Okay. So if you wanted to do that. And then, so I feel like
that could be a pre-transformed Reed Richards even.
It could be.
Right? Yes. Like maybe Dr. we just Richards. Meet him as a scientist, right?
Yeah. Mr. Just Fine.
Mr. Just Fine, yeah. He's not fantastic yet.
Okay, so right now you've definitely established why Spider-Man could go much longer in the MCU.
Yes.
His identity's back in the box.
Absolutely. But I'm going to go the losing the power route. And I'm going to do that into the next film. That, like Zach was mentioning there, Captain Marvel has already been, there have been rumors that they were going to team up together in another film. So I'm going to say that Spider-Man and Captain Marvel team up. We've already seen established that in the Captain Marvel movie that the Kree want to come back. We got Ronan saying we're going to come back and we're going to get her. Yeah. So I would say that plays a part in for the second film. The Kree decide we want this weapon back for ourselves. And we've already seen that the Kree engine can give a human superpowers. So I'm going to say during the course of that film, while her and Peter Parker are teaming up, fighting the Kree, there's some sacrifice that Peter Parker has to make to stop a cataclysm that's going to happen. That ends up detonating some sort of device that the energy from that cancels out the radiation that's already in his body and neutralizes it. Basically,
just for him or
for him.
A lot of people?
No, he sacrifices himself to make sure that.
So he's in like a tube situation with the machine. He's Spock.
Almost, right? That's right. Yeah. And so you got Captain Marvel on the other side. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, you know, he doesn't have any chance to remember to anybody. So he can't pass on his Katra. Peter Parker's Katra's lost, everybody. So the device goes off, cancels him off. And so now he's just a normal human being. But I could see him even becoming, because he embracing the science side of him. And if he still wanted to be involved in superheroics, could be on the Avengers as like the support staff. He could be their Q, where he's working behind the scenes.
He's still a great engineer.
Okay, yeah. So we could see him behind the scenes, never have to see him, but he is still in the world.
So I'm mad now.
Why are you mad?
Because you got my boy Peter Parker,
yes,
who is such a fun character in the Spider-Man, and you made him, he essentially could be in a wheelchair, like just sitting there. I'm thinking of like any kind of support character that it always has some sort of like physical impairment, and they're stuck in the cave, and they're like, oh, he turned left. And like, that's Peter Parker now.
He's the guy in the van. You made
him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, that's his life now.
But is Q's not in a wheelchair? Are you?
The wheelchair is not the relevant part. It's the fact that Spider-Man now has a desk job.
Yeah, I know. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I mean, you've lost your superhero powers. You can't take photographs of yourself.
I'm
going to
give you...
Photojournalism is a desk job, mostly, if you talk to any photojournalists.
If there is now no Spider-Man, I'm going to say that there's a void and a vacuum for that type of character in either the MCU or anywhere else. If you or anyone, actually, wants to fill that void now that, that there's a gap there... There's a rogue up for grabs.
So what if, right, maybe off of Frank's idea, maybe even off of Eric's idea of Spider-Man dying, right? Like Tom Holland's Peter Parker, whatever, when he's about to die or about to give up his powers or something, you know, throws his mask in a garbage can. Boom. End credit scene.
Done. Movie. So, yeah. Spider-Man trash.
No, or whatever. Or like, you know, Aunt May, you know, puts his entire costume in a box to send to Goodwill or whatever. And then we go to Goodwill.
Woody and Buzz pop up. That's where you're going,
huge
right?
Crossover potential. No, and then we go to Goodwill. Maybe the end credit scene. We just see a hand reach out to this mask and be like, huh. Right? Boom. That's how the MCU version ends. Cut to the next Sony movie, Miles Morales at Goodwill. Finding a Spider-Man mask, finding a minion, and being like, "This is no."
So the MCU hands off the character of Spider-Man, but the mantle of Spider-Man to Sony in a very civil way.
Yes. It becomes like the movie, like Mike, in which a Bow Wow finds MJ's shoes. MJ died in that universe, I believe. The Bow Wow universe.
He retired to space.
Starring Jesse Plemons was in the Bow Wow movie.
Really?
This is the best movie of all time.
So we get Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Yes, Sony's allowed
but
to
Sony
keep,
has
yes,
has
he will never show up in the MCU.
So they still sunset through Frank's method of Spock in a tube.
But then
real quick he's like, "Hey, send this to Goodwill because, you know, people are cold." Like, and they want. Actually, it has like all this tech in it.
It would have to be the early, the hoodie version of.
Oh,
the
yeah, maybe the
hoodie.
Oh, I like that. I like that. The hoodie version.
The one he had before Stark Metal.
And Aunt May's like, "I want no memories of Peter. I want to erase him from my life."
Me and Happy are about to go to Tahiti for a week.
Yeah, he wasn't my son. He's my nephew.
She's already lost her sibling. She's had a hard one.
She's like, "I was doing this as a favor." But he turns 18 and he goes, becomes, what does he become?
Oh, he works, he's got a desk job at Avengers HQ.
Oh, right. Damn. That's right. That one I
hated. Yeah, look at that. That's great.
Yeah, they pay him. He's on payroll as like just our helper guy. Frank, you get one. And then I'll say, Zach, you get another quarter piece.
I get all the tiny ones.
Yeah, because I really like this idea of, hey, the MCU and Sony don't have to be at odds with each other. They could say, we ended our arc of the story, you pick up where we left off and ruin it, and then we'll take it back after you mess it up. So I want you guys to just recap these in a tweet, and feel free if there's anything that you feel like didn't land with us emotionally, you can alter it in your tweet. But let's hear them again, starting with Eric in a tweet.
Okay, Galactus annihilates the entire MCU, including Peter Parker, but we reset in a new layer of the multiverse.
Without Peter Parker.
Without Peter.
Great. A grieving Peter Parker goes on space adventures after defeating the Sinister Six, leaves behind his mask in a box to be sent to Goodwill, thus retiring to space while his mantle gets taken up by somebody else.
You gave that to Frank. Yeah.
Well, I take it back.
You changed your whole thing. Just do that.
I'll go with Peter Parker sacrifices his abilities to save the universe.
That's good. Cool. That was actually tweet length as
well. Yeah, I know, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Just for being so succinct, you get a second one.
Good job, Frank.
All right.
It takes to make me a comeback.
All right. Let's see. Things are going to get actually more serious because we have some real actual steaks coming up soon. No, not to eat.
Steaks?
Not to
T-bones?
Eat.
Just
to eat. Okay, yes. On the other side of the break, really quick, they're about to have. But we're going to get into some Joker predictions because that movie's about to come out, so we can hold you to your predictions. Oh. All right.
right, but real quick, thank you to our sponsors.
This episode of Rogue Theory was sponsored by MeUndies. It's Halloween time. MeUndies is bringing back the childlike joy of picking out the perfect costume with their spooky prints and Halloween costume onesies. Their zombie and skeleton onesies are perfect for feeling festive while not having to try too hard. New Rockstars listeners might enjoy their Star Wars prints. They've got stormtroopers on boxer briefs and Ewoks on onesies. Hey, I'm never too old to wear an Ewok onesie until my teenage nephew sees me in it, and then I'm too old for everything. But MeUndies undies are spooky soft, like designed to be the best thing you've ever put on your body soft. These are the softest undies known to man, and they're also available in sizes extra small, 4XL, soft for all. MeUndies has a great offer for New Rockstars fans. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer, especially because they got 100% satisfaction guarantee. To get 50% off your first pair, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/rockstars. That's MeUndies.com/rockstars.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who are you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
Yeah. All right, and we're back. Guys, okay, so we just wrapped up that other segment. I'll remind you, by the way, that the winner of the most roguies at the end, you guys submitted wishes at the beginning of the episode. Your wish gets to come true. That's if you lose, then none of your wishes will ever come true again.
Ever? Oh, boy.
No. But we have a different thing than normal here in this segment that's a little bit more immediate. We have no more episodes of the show left before Joker comes out, and we have a lot of rogue theories we put out there. I know Eric has contradicted himself a number of times. Yes. with some of his theories.
Oh, yeah.
I want you guys, I'm going to work through some Joker related questions, and I want to hear your theory answers kind of quickly, but we're locking these in now. These are the ones that you're committing to, and whoever has the most accurate answers when the movie comes out and we check your answers gets a little reward here on the set. Semi-permanently. We can't afford anything.
Are we frozen in carbonite and put in the back of the set?
But it's like not that hard. It's semi.
Carbonite jello.
It's gel.
And then the losers will be punished viciously as usual.
You
go ahead.
Mention,
Yeah. All right. So are you guys ready to commit to something that you did not sign up for? Man, this wasn't even taped to this card correctly. All right.
Oh, fire the producer.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to get into our Joker theories here. You can play along at home and in the comments section. But again, remember, it's very vicious punishment if you don't make it. All right. So we're going to start with a nice, simple question. How does the Joker movie end for Arthur Fleck?
Okay. Well, keep in mind, yeah, you may be listening or watching this after you've already seen the movie. So don't judge us. None of us have seen the movie yet. So this is fun for
Coward.
You. You get to judge us.
Coward.
The name of the show is Rogue Theory. I want to keep that in mind. Here's my pitch for how it ends for Arthur Fleck. I think it ends in a televised suicide. I think he's going to kill himself on that talk show.
All right, you've put your money on that a number of times.
Yeah, I have said this before. That's a possibility. I'm going to lock it in now.
Wow. Okay, to clarify, that is Arthur Fleck.
Just Arthur
committing
Fleck.
Committing suicide.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Okay, my prediction is it ends with him alive, but getting committed, straitjacketed
gotcha.
At Arkham Asylum.
At Arkham Asylum. Yes. Okay, cool. So he ends in Arkham Asylum.
Yes.
All right,
Great. And Frank?
Mine is going to be that he dies by GCPD. They end up shooting him.
Death by cop.
Yep. Yep. Still like kind of suicide by cop, or he's running from them and they...
That's suicide by cop. He gets killed in the course of doing something.
And becomes like a martyr figure, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
Does he become a martyr figure?
He does.
Okay, great. That you just added that to your thing, so it's locked in. So even if he gets killed by cops and does not become a martyr,
man,
he will be punished viciously.
They shoot him in the balls, right?
That's funny. It would lead to him being a martyr, for sure. All right, number two. How does it end for the Wayne family?
I'm staying in my darkest timeline bubble here. I think it will end in a way in which young Bruce Wayne gets killed and the adult parent Waynes live. And that's why this is so controversial to a lot of critics. And they're saying a lot of DC diehards will be pissed off at this. I think Todd Phillips is like, this is not going to connect to any main DC timeline, because in this world, there's no Batman, or maybe Batman, someone else. But Bruce Wayne, that boy, is going to die in these mobs. Someone is assassinating Thomas Wayne. Arm gets pushed. The bullet goes into the kid.
So it sounds like a gun death.
Yes.
To Bruce
gun,
Wayne.
Accidental gun violence slays the young Bruce Wayne.
Are you going to, do you want to go double or nothing a little bit with maybe Thomas Wayne implied to maybe take on the mantle of Batman?
I'm going to say, as fascinating as that would be, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that they're going to go so hardcore in this world that there is no Batman and Gotham burns as a result of this.
Okay, cool. And I'm also, and then also in this movie, which is a romp, there's a suicide on TV.
I'm saying the darkest timeline. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Super dark.
Very
I'm sticking with it. Yeah.
Appropriate.
Zach, the Wayne
I
family?
Think I'm going a slightly more traditional route. I do think
slightly.
Thomas and Martha die.
Okay.
They are killed by maybe a, I don't think Arthur Fleck kills them. I think they are killed by an Joker inspired
like
goon, disciple, bad guy, whatever.
Ball martyr.
And we close on a young Bruce Wayne, both his dead parents' hands still in his hands.
What?
Looking down at their bodies. Like they were holding his hand. Gun. They fall. He's still holding on.
But rigor mortis grips their son's hands.
He's trying to get.
Zach,
he can't get his hands
before you lock that in, can you stand up real quick? Do you guys mind all standing up?
All right.
I want you to understand the physics of what you're describing.
Where, now, okay, so,
you're Bruce Wayne.
So I'm Bruce Wayne. I'm standing between mommy and daddy. Mommy and daddy get shot.
And so they die.
So
girls.
Yes.
And so
okay,
Thomas Wayne's pearls are everywhere.
Yeah, and so, they're both on the ground. Frank. But he's short. He's close to the ground anyways, his hands. So he's just like, Daddy? Mommy?
And so you think he wouldn't have let go, and his parents wouldn't have let go of his hands?
No, of course not. And that's symbolism.
Frank, how does it end for the Wayne family?
I'm going to say it's kind of a combination of the two from Zach and Eric, where it is... that the Waynes will all die by the hand of Joe Chill, who's inspired by the Joker's actions.
Ooh. Gotcha. The whole Waynes family.
Yes.
Yeah, Marlon.
Yeah, specifically in the boss. They're all just shot in the boss.
Key and Ivory.
Okay, so they're killed, the whole family, including Bruce.
I'm going to say the whole family.
Nice.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, we'll go
by
a
Joe
different.
Chill.
Yes.
Right.
And what a nice way for like Todd Phillips in this movie to say like, this is not part of a shared universe. It can't be. We're killing Bruce Wayne.
All right. Like, what is the final shot of the movie?
Okay. So, you know, I mentioned Joker might, or Arthur Fleck might not be the only suicide in this.
Oh God. So it's a self-inflicted shot.
No, he inspires waves. Everyone who is in his clown gang,
God.
Mass suicide. The streets of
oh
Gotham are filled with
Hold
dead
on.
Clowns.
Pause. Oh. Real quick pause. Eric, are you okay?
No. The reviews of this film, words like irresponsible have been used. Oh. And you got to think these critics or these judges at the Venice Film Fest are giving it an award for some kind of like bold vision. I'm just going like, what's the darkest crap that like Todd Phillips could have imagined?
So what is the visual on that? Final frames.
In the trailer, we saw the Gotham skyline, the train line going into that. We see the streets, these like dirty streets. Now those streets are filled with dead freaking clowns. As we pan out. and we see the city burning with clouds.
Like, I can't believe that Eric is outroguing me on all of these, but mine's a little bit more maybe predictable or normal. But as he's literally getting straight jacketed, put on the like furniture mover gurney kind of thing that they do for Hannibal Lecter, getting the wheeled down the Arkham Asylum hallway. Right, he looks out and sees the Gotham skyline and buildings burning because, like, though the Joker is being put away, will be condemned or committed, whatever, right? Like, his influence, his, like, infection is already having its way on the city. His followers are still destroying everything.
Probably resulting in him having a good laugh right there.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, chuckling down the hallway or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, creepy. I like it. All right. Less suicides than some would suggest, yes. But yeah. All right, Frank, what do you got?
I'm going to go... piggybacking on my thought that he's going to get killed by the GCPD. Mm. So you have a news story covering that as well. So you're going to see the news story happening. It'll be on TV, then eventually fade to a voiceover, the news story continuing, while you're panning into a apartment building there in Gotham. And you see somebody coming up to their apartment complex, go inside their apartment, and they set down their bag, and they start pulling out makeup. And they just look in the mirror, and they start putting on some makeup as well.
Oh, that's very artsy.
So, yeah. Well, and to clarify, this is something that's happening all over in all kinds of apartments, or this is the new actual Joker?
Oh, I mean, I would say at least that this could be a person that's going to pick up the mantle, whether it's... I'm going to say we're going to see at least one person, if not more, that it's starting to spread around.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
so a lot of you are on this idea. In fact, all of you are on the idea that the Joker cult continues.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or I think they're all dead.
Well, no, or sure. It goes beyond
my world.
Him.
Yeah.
It's a quick arc.
It's Jonestown.
I hate this movie, as you guys are predicting it.
As do so many critics.
Yeah, but we'll see. Yeah. You guys can keep track of these answers if you want on your own. You can also answer those questions in the comments. But we are going to hold these people accountable, and they will be shamed and punished terribly for whoever was the most off. But whoever was the most accurate is actually going to get their picture on this wall right here. For, you know, as long as we can tolerate.
Do we get any points for these? Like, just for the
episode?
Yeah,
yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I totally forgot. Frank, there you go. There's one. Zach, there's one. Frank, there's two.
Oh, my goodness.
Zach, there's a second
one. Yeah!
All right. All the
I
points
think just because you don't like the name of the show is Rogue Theory.
Eric, it was
not
irresponsible.
Safe theory. Not understandable
theory. You know what movie you just pitched, Eric? Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm not high-fiving that.
Zach, you got another rogue. Yeah. All right, you guys, I need to lighten this up. I'm going to wrap it up with a good old round of rogue questions.
Yay! Right.
Yes!
Cool. All right. So these are wishes. I don't want those. All right. Guys, these are questions that I haven't seen, and so you guys just need to drop answers quickly. Hopefully they make sense. It was announced this week that Marvel's Kevin Feige will produce a Star Wars movie. Pitch me on which franchise needs his help more than Star Wars does.
The Kingsman series.
Whoa.
I want to see a Feige Kingsman. I wasn't crazy about
you know
the
what?
Second
Kingsman,
one.
You know what? Kingsman has kind of gone off a little bit.
Oh, I like the trailer right. For the next one. I'm pitching him on something that really needs his help, that has like fallen on hard times, and that's Universal's Dark Universe. It's the Mummy, yeah. Frankenstein, Dracula, mm-hmm. like all those classic movie monsters. They tried to bring it, relaunch it with Tom Cruise and like Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
Just flopped.
Became a meme.
Yeah, and I think it's because they went with these older movie stars. It didn't feel vibrant. Feige knows how to get the right young directors, actors in there. He can make that really fun. Yeah.
Gotcha. No rogue.
It's too good an answer.
Yeah.
Right. I've already alluded to it there in my pitch for with Peter Parker and the way he leaves the Marvel Universe. I'd love to see him take over Star Trek. It is a franchise that, at least in the film theatrical side, it is kind of falling on hard times. I would love to see it.
Yeah.
A lot of potential there.
I'm down. Bring Star Trek back. There you
yes.
go.
Yes.
All right, guys. Ah. A recent Daredevil issue revealed that the Kingpin got marijuana legalized in the MCU. Okay. What Marvel character has got to be first in line at that dispensary?
Fat Thor, right? It'd be Fat Thor. This is a guy, he's always,
else
better for sure.
He's got the lifestyle, right?
For Fat Thor.
Because
Fat Thor definitely was already high. Guys, all right. In honor of the Joker movie, give me your best evil, maniacal, Joker-ish laugh.
Oh, God, no, why? Why?
Evil, I don't know. It's staying in character.
Sounded like a laugh that ended in a fart. A bit.
Yeah, for podcast listeners. That's all he did.
Okay, and I came out of a cold about a week ago, so my range isn't quite
coward.
What it
oh
is,
boy,
but...
coward. I wish this guy would have offed himself.
Oh my God.
Not Zach, the character.
Oh yeah. All right, here we go.
There you go. Your daughter hates that one.
That was Mark Hamill-esque. That was
pretty good.
Nice. Yes.
All right. Let's wrap them up. Guys, who won? What are your point totals?
Okay. I've got four and a quarter or an eighth or whatever.
I think Zach and I are tied at
four. Yes. At four and a quarter.
I see that and raise you six.
Whoa. Six. Technically, you saw it and raised one and three quarters, but that's fine. Yeah.
Frank, say your own last name.
Moran
is the winner of this episode. Eric and Zach's wishes
don't read them. Yes.
Are gone forever. But Frank says that Eric must end all of his next statements with "in bed."
Oh, okay.
Great.
In bed.
All right. Right. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you guys for being here. Frank, yeah. Where can we find you?
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @HappyGoJackie.
Awesome. It sounds like somebody else's handle, but great. Zach, we're going to
find you. Don't follow me at all, but keep watching New Rock Stars. Again,
look at that.
Just imagine every New Rock Stars video you see, right off screen, I'm lurking.
Yeah.
Okay? Just like staring daggers through Eric and Philip.
Yeah, and we love it.
I love your answer because it implies that there's stuff on your social media you're very ashamed of and you don't want to bring attention to.
Don't look at it.
Don't go backward. And Eric, what do you got going on?
So sort of counseling?
We got a Joker breakdown coming your way in bed, and we have probably some kind of Joker ending explained or something you didn't totally agree with in bed.
Birds of Prey?
Yeah, we have it might already be on the channel, but a Birds of Prey breakdown, and maybe some other big questions about Birds of Prey that you have.
Gotcha. What do you love to do when your family visits?
Cry in bed.
Great. All right, guys. I'm Philip Molina. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Philip Molina. Otherwise, stay tuned to the channel and also check out our Patreon video that is linked at the end screen here. It can help this get a lot better. And all these theories will get so much better. Thank you guys so much. Have a good one.
Yay! Yeah!